Hello, welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. Much excitement tonight. This is our first ever group podcast, and we're joined by a fascinating group of people, and a token man, I hear. All ladies and one token man. Would you like to introduce yourselves, guys?
So my name is Diane Ashura-Dokwe. I'm the Global AMR Lead for Commonwealth Pharmacists Association, and supporting the CPAMS program, CWPAMS.
Hello, my name is Maria Mia Fendreski. I'm an infection consultant at the North Middlesex Hospital, and I'm a volunteer in the CPAMS project.
Hi, my name is Fran Garrigan. I'm an antimicrobial pharmacist at Manchester University Foundation Trust, and I'm also a volunteer in this program.
Hi, I'm Chloe Turk, and I'm the International Projects Lead at the CPA, and I'm project managing the technical input on AMS CPA in this project, in the CPAMS project.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kavanagh. I'm a pharmacist from Ipswich Hospital in Suffolk, and I'm the International Partnerships Lead for CPA.
And I'm Stephen Doherty, I'm the token man here. I am a pharmacist and I work for Health Education England, but I'm also a volunteer in this programme as well.
Well, you're all very welcome, especially you, Stephen.
Thanks.
very good. No, it's really exciting to be speaking to such a lineup of renowned folk. So why don't we just get started? So the reason that I was keen to speak to you was just basically to find out about the Commonwealth Partnerships for Antimicrobial Stewardship, to be honest. So does I don't know if you're going to flip a coin or how you're going to do it, but could someone, or maybe go around and describe a little bit about the programme and what's involved, and then we can have a blether about it.
Thank you, Jonathan. So antimicrobial stewardship is one of the key aspects of tackling antimicrobial resistance alongside infection prevention and control. And this particular programme is part of the Fleming Fund, funded through the Fleming Fund, and really embeds part of the other projects that the Fleming Fund is working through in low middle income countries. So for this particular program that we have, it's for using the partnerships model with TEF to send out or to work with volunteers from UK going into four African countries which are part of the Commonwealth, so Ghana, Uganda, Tanzania and Zambia. And we've had 12 partnerships which have been which have had agreement for funding, and so we're very excited. Actually, we are here at our pre-deployment training for the UK volunteers, and that's why we have our esteemed colleagues and volunteers here with us today.
I know, globally acclaimed lineup. It's fantastic. And where did it all start then? Like, you know, where did this project come from, or where did it emerge from? Could someone explain that?
Okay, so about probably 3 years ago, Victoria Rutter, who's currently on maternity leave, was approached around, because of the work that CPA had been doing around in Commonwealth countries particularly, and the work we had been doing around antimicrobial stewardship within that, was approached by DH to ask how we could promote or support antimicrobial stewardship in low middle income countries. And through that, Vicky used her connections and worked through different options available, and we came up with a collaboration with TEF and considering how the health partnerships could be used as a model. So this was about 3 years ago, and I was involved because I've been the AMR advisor for CPA since then. And we had been working together anyways to support several of the countries through running webinars and training, and also CPA supports many of these countries through supplying BNFs and books to the countries. So we were asked to work through this and to put up together a project, a proposal, basically. So we worked with that through TEF, and it was a long process of about a year.
So just chipping in here as well, at about the same time or a bit after, I'd been working with Vicky, and she'd expressed interest in our FET partnership we'd had with a hospital in Mozambique, which had also been looking at antimicrobial stewardship. And the then head of the Fleming Fund, Vicky, and myself went to the Royal Pharmaceutical Society's hospital expert advisory group in London to one of their meetings to present this concept. It was then presented, and there was engagement from within the NHS from the chief pharmacist, which was great. It then took an awful lot of work up and delays, hesitations. But as Diane said, having been there right from the outset, which is 3 years ago, it is so, so exciting to be here today and to just see these 12 partnership teams so engaged. The buzz in the room was audible. I don't know if any of our newer volunteers want to comment on how they felt today, apart from everybody's probably quite exhausted.
No, it's incredibly exciting to be here today, and also to sort of to network and to find out what everybody else is doing and what they want to be doing.
And it's great to have pharmacists kind of leading this, and also antimicrobial pharmacists who are often kind of underrepresented in the field of pharmacy. I think it's great that actually we're out there and leading this project and really able to engage in African countries and really try and improve antimicrobial stewardship, and obviously our end goal to enhance our work around antimicrobial resistance, you know, when we can all work together towards that end goal.
I think that's really, really key, actually. One of the key outcomes from this programme is going to be bringing learning back to the NHS, and it's been fantastic to see such leadership from our Chief Pharmaceutical Officer and his counterparts in the devolved administrations, Chief Medical Officer and her counterparts, really galvanising support for this within the NHS. We've had, you know, Health Education England and others involved. And we're just really just kind of accelerating this into the project delivery stage, which I think Chloe will be able to give us a bit of background as to sort of the scoping we've done in country, but there are going to be so many benefits in NHS realised through this programme, I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah, I think I was just going to add there around the pharmacist leadership, and I think it was, you know, it's been the leadership that pharmacists have had around stewardship in the UK is well known, and that was part of the reason that CPA was approached around how can we strengthen pharmacists and, you know, share that model in other parts of the world as well. And that's been quite exciting to see. It's been very exciting to see how many, every single partnership has a pharmacist involved. In most cases, the pharmacists are leading the project, which is really good. And we've come through, you know, it's new for pharmacy to be in this. Some pharmacists, so Sarah has had experience of working through partnerships, but actually it's not a common practice within pharmacy. So it's very exciting to see. And it's also exciting to see the multidisciplinary approach. So Miriam is a microbiologist who's worked quite closely with her pharmacists to develop this. And actually all the teams have got a broad multidisciplinary approach as well. So whilst pharmacy is at the core of it, we're very clear about the multidisciplinary approach. And we're hoping that we can go and model this when we go to the different countries, and that flat hierarchy that we have, and showing that we work very closely together for patients' benefit and outcomes, will be really exciting to model and share.
We picked up as key in scoping that pharmacists often felt they weren't given the opportunity to lead. So I think bringing that in is going to be key. And we had a really exciting announcement as well this morning that there's also going to be a fellowship opportunities available through NHS England and for
AGE,
for Health Education England.
Health Education England will be supporting some fellowships for pharmacists who are involved in the scheme. I think it's really important, isn't it, to acknowledge that pharmacists in the UK have done an awful lot around antimicrobial stewardship. But, you know, from being here in the room today, I think it's quite clear that as pharmacists, we haven't maybe been involved in writing things like bids for getting grants, for going in and sharing that information worldwide. And I think the 12 groups have created a network around them that supports them in developing that. But hopefully we can move forward and start to create pharmacists who are able to write bids and able to share what we do as pharmacists in the UK across a worldwide platform.
And also as part of that, you know, as part of working in collaboration with our colleagues at the university, we're also working with health psychologists. So a part of our project in Uganda and Manchester is very much working with a health psychologist on behavioural change and how we can look at people's attitudes to antimicrobial stewardship and change behaviours, both in Uganda and also bring that practice back to Manchester and back to what we do in our home NHS trusts and apply that behavioural change psychology to ourselves as well.
That's really key, Fran, actually. This really feeds into the UK MR strategy, which was launched last January, I believe. And it's just so key to involve all the stakeholders. The learning is coming back. We don't have all the answers in the UK, not at all. And it's the bi-directional learning from this is going to be completely crucial for making sure that the UK is amongst one of the best leaders in stewardship work globally, which is something that the Chief Medical Officer, Dame Sally Davis, presented to the Royal Pharmaceutical Society's Science Summit a couple of weeks ago. The other key thing that is going to really help with this project is we're totally embracing digital technologies, which is crucial to taking forward our approaches to this work. And we've got a lot to learn in the UK from our counterparts in Africa in this respect. We can't turn up to a meeting with our colleagues in Ghana, Uganda, wherever it is, every fortnight, clearly, because think of the air miles, even if we could take the time out of the day job. So we're going to be looking at alternative solutions to dealing with this, which we will bring back to the NHS.
And I think also on that as well, in some of the settings we work in, we know that actually there's not the access to prescribing guidelines. The paper versions is quite limited, and there's a lot of increasing use of digital and also digital training and apps for training. That people looking at innovation and different ways to get around staff shortages, and some of that's going to be really key. The things are going to be able to bring back to the NHS as well.
It's really key you say that, Chloe, because actually what we, before in CPA, we have been able to support many countries, and we've done that through webinars, and actually we have been amazed about how much they have been, they have embraced the technology use and really asking for more. So there's so much that we can do, and bringing that frugal innovation back. And actually, what, you know, when people go out and realize, one of the things that I constantly think about is that if nothing else, there'll be an appreciation for the NHS when volunteers come back. And we'll realize how blessed we are with the NHS. And when we see where other healthcare colleagues across the world, what they have to deal with for the benefits of their patients, we start to appreciate what we do have here. Obviously, we can always do more.
Yeah.
But actually, there is that to bring back as well.
No, I think I mean that is so much information there. Thank you very much. It's just brilliant to help me as much as anything to understand a bit more about what's happening. I think it's such an exciting time. For, I know we always say pharmacy's changing, you know, and it's such an exciting time, but it really is, because this, I mean, my dummy's sort of view of this project is it really starts to pave the way for pharmacists to influence, not just at an individual level, but I'm assuming at a population level. So you take my practice this week, I didn't prescribe an antibiotic for a sore throat because the person didn't score highly enough in the CentAur score. So that's an individual level, isn't it? But this is really opening the door to really deepen and embed the competence of pharmacists. And then there's this other layer of, you know, actually we're going to go around the world to do this where it's most needed. And most interestingly, what you said there, Diane, was that, you know, those return benefits, those unseen or unintended positive consequences back here in the NHS, yeah, we don't know how lucky we are. Terrible stories come out of less fortunate countries, less wealthy countries, and this is fantastic. So, help me understand, what does it mean, like, on the ground? So what, maybe this is a question for the volunteers, but what's going to happen on the ground in, you know, one of the countries, say Ghana, I think you mentioned, when you go to Ghana, you land, you get off the plane, what's the plan?
So just to bring it back personally to me and why I wanted to be involved, when I heard the call, it was something that I really couldn't ignore. As a consultant working in infection in the NHS, it has all the elements that are amazing. So infectious disease, antimicrobial stewardship, antimicrobial resistance. And it was just definitely something that I wanted to be part of. But also because of the model of the partnerships, I'm, as well as a consultant in the NHS, I'm a mum, I've got two small boys. I can't disappear to a low and middle income country for years, but I can go for a small period of time and I can support a project for many months and for many years. So that's what was so attractive to me. And when I went back to the North Middlesex, and we have a great team, an infection team at the North Middlesex, and I asked my pharmacist, an antimicrobial pharmacist, and I asked my infection control nurses, would you be like to be a part of this? Absolutely, universally, everybody said yes. So we have a team, we have a multidisciplinary team. We've got one infection control nurse, we've got pharmacists, and we've got doctors. And basically, we will support the Korlibu, which is the largest teaching hospital in Ghana. It's a 2,000-bedded hospital. It's the third largest hospital in Africa. We will help them to embed antimicrobial stewardship surveillance and better infection prevention and control strategies. And we will do that with different interventions and strategies over about 15 months. So we're incredibly excited. We have lots to give. We have huge amounts to learn and even have learnt putting this application together. So we're really excited and we're really glad that we got chosen to be part of one of the 12 partnerships.
So just to cover what our project was working on, the Gulu Manchester link, we were very much focusing on the Department of Health Start Smart and Focus principles and how we can adapt these to practice in Uganda. Part of what we will be doing initially will be to take a team of us out there and to really kind of survey local practice in Gulu, see what goes on the wards when nurses are administering antibiotics, to see how prescribers are actually prescribing antibiotics and the sort of prescribing decisions they're making, and then look at that, evaluate it, and very much try and create a prescribing checklist that focusing on the fundamentals of the Start Smart Then Focus toolkit, but making it applicable to Uganda and practice in Uganda.
So how many volunteers have you got then?
Wow. So we have 12 partnerships. Some of them have got 10 volunteers. Some of them have got 3 volunteers. But actually, and so that's in terms of who is going out to those countries. But on the bids, there are big groups of multidisciplinary team who have pulled together the project. So actually that's quite unique in the sense of you've got those who may not be going out, but are very much working through the projects. So actually maybe Miriam can say how many you have in your project and your partnership, and then you can, and Stephen can as well, if you know off the top of my head.
So from the UK side at the North Middlesex, we have 6 who are intimately involved in the project, and that's 2 doctors, 2 pharmacists, well, 3 pharmacists, sorry, and 2 infection control nurses. That's 7. can't count. But at the Korlibu side, we have a much larger team. So there's up to 20, 30 pharmacists who want to be involved in that project and help us to deliver it.
Excellent. A similar picture for Manchester, really. So in Manchester, we are collaborating with the University of Manchester and also Manchester Metropolitan University, and also Stephen from Health Education England. As part of Manchester Foundation Trust, we've also got links in with the sepsis nurses, and we've also got links in with microbiology for sort of surveillance support as well. And it'll be very much once we get out to Gulu to see what support, further support we need from our team in Manchester. In our team in Gulu, again, is probably sort of 20 to 30 people who in Gulu are very engaged in the project and really want to see our project succeed in Gulu as well.
I think that's actually the picture across the partnerships. There's the core team, and then there's a much broader team, both in our African partner countries, but also within the UK partners. I know from my own experience with working with the health partnership scheme before and in a different country, there may have only been 5 people who went out on the project visit, but the reach throughout Ipswich Hospital and the community within Suffolk where we deliver health was way broader than that. There were probably up to 50 volunteers from our trust who participated in the project, and they all brought different levels of learning and experience and different skills. Many of them either didn't want to or didn't have the opportunity to travel for a variety of reasons, but they were happy to help with translation, all sorts of things, building interest in the community, etc. It's an exceptionally cost-effective way of progressing the Sustainable Development Goals, developing the UK AML strategy, and supporting AMR and globally through antimicrobial stewardship. And if this is basically a sort of a pilot, proof of concept pilot, if this works well, and given the enthusiasm and the devotion in the room today, I can't see why it won't. This could be potentially hugely scaled up, and this could have a real impact in the global fight against antimicrobial resistance, which is huge.
And it's huge if we do not act now. So my colleagues are reminding me that it's 10 million deaths, there are different data sets that we have now around the global AMR and the deaths from resistant infections, and the AMR review was based on modelling as well, and the EU European ECDC, which is the European Centre for Disease and Prevention and Control, has recently provided the data for European countries as well. So it's the risks are huge, and we need to act now. And it's important that everyone does their part, because everyone can do something.
This is a huge, huge problem. It's a huge global problem, but actually, even people who may have not thought that they were interested in global health are actually starting to pay attention to this, because if we do nothing about this, it's only going to be, you know, a few decades before people are not going to be able to have cesarean sections safely. These antibiotics are just not working anymore. We need to address this, we need to understand it, and actually supporting the Fleming Fund in this program is actually going to be a really key way that we sort of raise the profile of this and we start to address this, so that we can all have medicine that works in the way that we've all grown up with. I mean, never mind for us, for our children and grandchildren, they are going to go back to the pre-antibiotic age if we don't do something about this now. I mean, it's 90 years ago, last September, that penicillin was discovered in London at St Mary's Medical School. Not that many decades after it went to market, we are almost at a point where it's not working anymore. This is a huge crisis.
And personally, like locally in Manchester, we have had huge problems with antimicrobial resistance, and infection control and antimicrobial stewardship are two of the key elements of our programme to actually improve our position in Manchester and decrease the rate of resistance that we're seeing in our patients. And it's really important for us to be able to take that across to Uganda and, you know, really share our experiences and hopefully improve antimicrobial stewardship in Uganda and the other African countries that we're dealing with.
Very good. Excellent. I must apologise a little bit. It's not a correction, but it's a wee bit of unconscious bias that I've accidentally on purpose introduced into this conversation, which is I've perhaps implied that this has been led by pharmacists only, And obviously pharmacists are completely amazing, according to me, but this is, of course, a multidisciplinary project, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so we that's one of the things we're trying to highlight earlier, is that it is very much a multidisciplinary approach, but pharmacists are core to it. So every partnership needed to have a pharmacist involved, but without multidisciplinary teams, this cannot work. So we are very clear on that, that whilst pharmacists are core, it needs to be a multidisciplinary approach completely. And we need to go and muddle that as well. In the countries, so in the four countries, pharmacists at the moment are in the pharmacy and do not go onto the wards. So we're hoping that we this can even go broader. And I know, for example, in Uganda, they're quite excited because their clinical pharmacy is in its infancy, but it's starting. So they're seeing this project as another way to highlight the clinical pharmacy, the clinical roles and benefits that pharmacists have as well.
Perfect, excellent. I'll draw it to add on.
Just pharmacists, but also technicians.
So yeah, and pharmacy technicians as well.
As we know, they have a lot of an independent role. So also considering that.
Yeah, I was just going to add that, you know, in the UK for a number of years now, pharmacists have been involved with the multidisciplinary team, but in leading kind of antimicrobial stewardship and making impact there. But it was really interesting to hear today that that's not necessarily the norm, even across the developed world.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's what's unique about this specific project, is that, yes, it is absolutely multidisciplinary and it wouldn't work without that. But it places pharmacists kind of at the heart of that, and that's where we have an opportunity to impact globally, but also take that home and I guess be proud of what's been achieved in the UK by pharmacists and share that and make that broader across the world.
Very good, very good. And one final question, and I suppose it's kind of, hopefully by doing this podcast, you know, we can help obviously raise awareness and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not least around how interesting this project is and the fact that you're going around the world doing it and stuff like that. But call to action. So what can listeners or readers of Pharmacy and Practice do to help you? So what could we do to help? Because it's a very worthy cause, and I suspect there's a lot of appetite to support this thing. So what could we do?
I suggest that we all share one item each that we think will be good. So we'll start with Chloe.
Well, I was just going to say, so I think we said we very much use the proof of concept, and that potentially, if this goes well, which based on how fantastic the applications and the selected projects are, I have a lot of hope that it will, that it's going to be extended. So people, pharmacists who are interested in doing this sort of work should go and try and make contacts, establish links, and look, even on a voluntary basis, if they can start to think about setting up partnerships for the future, that would be something to do, just to start conversations. It's amazing, even building awareness and talking about what you're doing at the moment can bring benefit to other people.
I would also say at Trust Side that, like infection prevention and control, antimicrobial stewardship is really everybody's business. I think the time where it's led by a microbiologist and an antibiotic pharmacist is archaic. It really, everybody needs to get involved. Every pharmacist needs to get involved. And that would be my call to action to the pharmacy community. Make it your goal.
And to support that, don't just assume that an antimicrobial prescription is okay and that it is appropriate for the patient. You know, if you don't think it is, question that with the prescriber.
Yeah. And just to link to what Mariam said there, you know, in the room today, I think there were only a handful of antimicrobial pharmacists. Majority of the pharmacists who will be going out for this are not antimicrobial pharmacists. And that's actually a really positive thing for us to be able to share. My call to action will be for people to go into the CPA website, the Commonwealth Pharmacists Association website, and get involved within that. I became an advisor many years ago, and through that have been able to support. But there are so many ways that pharmacists in, across the country can support. It's a pharmacy community can support CPA, which is a small charity, but really working hard to support medicines optimization across all Commonwealth countries, but particularly in the resource poor settings.
I totally echo that, Diane. PharmAid has been launched this week. If you are working anywhere with a BMF that you can donate, please go onto the CPA's website for more information. But my call to action, actually, even though global health is something I feel very, very strongly about, is actually what can we do in the UK about this? There are so many people who went into health because they want to improve health. There are so many people who want to volunteer their time. They don't even realise they're doing this. They might be helping out with brownies or the school PTA or various other things. There are resources we can use to embed antimicrobial stewardship training into our communities. There are various resources. I think eBug is available on the internet, full of resources. Engaging with local community groups can really help kind of galvanize some support for this, because we need to just hit the next generation with this message, because they're the ones that are going to be left with no antibiotics. So we need to help them by teaching them, and they will then go home and teach their parents, their families, their grandparents, and this is about changing behaviour. Token Man, over to you.
Token Man, I'll go last. I think a lot of things covered, but I guess as a simple thing that people can do is, if you're a pharmacist and you're not an antibiotic guardian, become an antibiotic guardian and recommend it to 3, 5, a number of your friends, colleagues, customers, your patients, whoever you deal with, and just raise awareness that we all have a role to play in antibiotic stewardship.
That's great. Thank you, Stephen. So to become an antibiotic guardian, you need to go into the Antibiotic Guardian website, which is www.antibioticguardian.com, and choose a pledge. There are a range of pledges there that people can choose from as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I think someone said it earlier about, you know, we need to make this thing real, don't we? I mean, there's so many, procedures that are elective at the moment, you know, hip replacements, knee replacements, that kind of thing. A routine surgery that just would just be really dangerous if the resistance spreads much further, really. And you mentioned already it's already happening, isn't it? So I think I hope that readers and listeners will, you know, take those on board and accept those calls to action. And it just falls to me to say thank you very much for joining us. And it's been really, really good fun and interesting hearing about all your tales. Hopefully we can speak again as the project develops and we can track it as it goes from strength to strength, which I have absolutely no doubt that it will. Okay, all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Cheerio.
Bye.